We have a guest that has seen a lot of different market and economic cycles under several different administrations. So we're kind of tying our world together here. Louis Navalier is chairman and founder at Navalier & Associates. He joins us from Florida. Louis, it is good to have you here. I'm trying to think where I want to start because it feels like, you know, we're thinking a lot about the U.S. as a country, about leadership because of the state funeral of former President Jimmy Carter. And I kind of want to start there. I think you got your undergrad in business administration in 78, your MBA in finance in 79. Take us back. What do you think about that time and era and what it was like to be a leader, a president at that moment?
It was super difficult. I actually worked for the Federal Home Loan Bank in San Francisco at the time, and we had this inverted yield curve and a banking failure. Mm-hmm. And of course, we had Paul Volcker, and they were experimenting with monetization and all that stuff. But it was really hard for Jimmy Carter because we had rampant inflation. And he was still fighting that. You know, prior to Carter, we had the Nixon price controls. And that really hurt him. The stock market went up in his four-year term, went up, I think, almost 45%, but net of inflation, it lost ground. So he didn't have the most spectacular economic oversight, but a lot of it was just luck, you know? I mean, it's the poor guy, you know, he's obviously was a wonderful person. And then, you know, I still remember when he addressed the nation, we had an energy crisis and we had high energy prices. He was wearing a sweater because he was telling us we needed to turn our thermostat down. And I think at that time, the view of the world was more static. And then obviously Ronald Reagan became the next president. He was more upbeat. And we're kind of in a similar situation now. We got to defeat the inflation that reappeared, probably was mostly stimulus related. And then once we defeat the inflation, we got to be more upbeat and right, try to grow versus look at us as a static economy.
You know, it's interesting. First of all, I was telling my daughter to put a sweater on either, too. I'm like, I'm not kicking up the heat anymore. Like, it's cold out. Like, put a sweater on. One thing I want to stick with, though, is the appointment of Paul Volcker as chairman of the Fed, someone who we look back as an iconic Fed chair at this moment in time and kind of goes down in history. On that, Stuart Eisenstadt, President Carter's domestic policy advisor, gave an eulogy this morning at the Washington National Cathedral, and he commented on that difficult decision of appointing Volcker.
Over the objection of all of his advisors, he chose Paul Volcker to lead the Federal Reserve, knowing in advance that Volcker's tough monetary policy would raise interest rates and unemployment because Paul told him that, and would do so in a presidential election year. You take care of the economy, Paul. I'll take care of the politics.
That, of course, is Stuart Eisenstadt this morning from the Washington National Cathedral giving a eulogy. Stuart Eisenstadt, President Carter's former domestic policy advisor. Hey, Louis, we're talking with Louis Navalier. The importance of putting someone in place who would do some hard stuff, Paul Volcker did, he raised rates, with the political costs to then President Jimmy Carter. You know, I think about the time we are in right now, or even what we've seen from Jay Powell. I mean, the importance of that independent Fed doing what's necessary when it comes to monetary policy and ensuring a stable economy. It's important, super important. How do you think about it in today's day and time?
Well, first of all, our Fed is not going to do what Volcker did. I mean, Volcker went from 20% to 8.5%. Back up to 20% in 1 year. And I still remember there was a home builder in front of Congress asking for Volcker's head on a platter. So the good news, it broke inflation. The bad news is it came at a horrible cost to the economy. So we're obviously in much better shape right now. I think obviously the Fed's going to continue to cut. I personally think they're going to cut four times because rates are going to be collapsing in Europe and we're going to have this global rate crash in 2025. We already see it in China. China's bond yields are lower than Japan. And it looks like China's going to be the new Japan for the next couple decades. And it's demographically driven. It's hard to grow your economy when you're shrinking in population. And that's not only China, that's all Europe and much of the rest of the world.
Is that also a risk to the U.S. Mm-hmm. with a crackdown on immigration?
Well, I don't think they'll deport people that have jobs. I can't imagine they'll do that. Obviously, they want to deport criminals and gang members and all that stuff. But I think if you have a job in America, it's going to be very hard to be deported unless you committed some sort of crime. So it's just, I just can't imagine. You know, the Tyson Foods, the Hormel Foods, they get a lot of the illegals and they make them legal. You know, they work for them. They process their paperwork and all. So I just can't imagine they would do that because Trump would do that because it'd make chicken prices go up. We already have chicken prices up because the bird flew out west. We don't need to have more chicken inflation.
No,
hey, really. I do own two egg companies, though, so I'm very happy. One already announced.
Calmaine, one of them?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, and Vital Farms is the next one. That's organic eggs in Austin, Texas. So if you want your chickens to live a happier life, order their eggs, but they're more money.
I do, but I have to take a mortgage out to buy eggs right now. I'm just going to put that out there. I mean, how are you looking at today's market environment? I think we're trying to figure out, I think there's a lot of questions about what ultimately we heard on the campaign trail from Donald Trump, the president-elect, you know, how much comes to fruition and what it means in terms of tariffs, taxes, you know, regulatory and so on. I don't know. Do you feel like your crystal ball is clear for 2025?
Yeah, I do. I think Trump is very simple. He just likes to win, and he likes to put you in an uncomfortable position when he negotiates. But I think he'll be making a deal with everybody. And I don't think we're going to have 25% tariffs on Mexico or Canada because they will be doing what Trump wants. They have to. He might tinker with NAFTA a little. You know, BYD moves to Monterrey, Mexico, and tries to import cars. I think, yeah, he'll probably mess with that. I'm sure that most of the tariffs will be on China. As far as Europe's concerned, you know, they put higher tariffs on us than we do on them. So they'll be making a deal there, whether it'll be LNG or us putting higher tariffs on them, we'll find out.
But Louis, one place you think that he will not actually follow through is when it comes to immigration. Why do you think he'll do all this other stuff that he said he'd do, but he won't do that?
It's just impractical. It's expensive. And it would hurt the economy. So I think...
Would that hurt him politically not to do it because the expectation is there?
I don't think anybody expects someone with a job to be deported. Okay. So obviously you got to wait 5 months to get a job. But once you get a job, I would be shocked if he deports you unless you committed a crime or have a bad rap sheet, you know. But it's logistically very expensive to deport everybody. And I think they might deport 600,000 people. But after that, it'll probably slow down.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Hey, Louis, thank you so much. So appreciate your thoughts and really just looking back to during the Carter administration, giving us some really smart perspective. Louis Navalier, chairman and founder at Navalier & Associates.